telling you,
man will fail you. Man will let you down. Man will get you in some wrong directions and so on. So, but you know, me and my family have been struggling the past couple of weeks. I'm not going to get into the whole gist of it. But I just got outside yesterday. I went, and you got to know my property. I have about 8 acres out there, and there's this one little area. It's all trees. And it's nice and shady there. It was hot yesterday. I just went there, and I sat on a log. I said, all right, Lord, now it's me and you. We need to get this right. You know what? He didn't fail me. He came through and he showed me some things. I just had to go back and I had to get things right. I said this, and I'm not leaving. Not that he minds. I'm not leaving until we get this thing right. What do I have to see? What? Just give me an inkling of what I have to see. And he did. He showed me. And I thank God for it. For those of you who don't know me, my name is Dale Morey. I got saved. I'm going to read Jude 23. It says, and others saved with fear, pulling him out of the fire. I was pulled from that fire. I could feel the heat from hell. God gloriously saved me almost 4 years ago in October, made 4 years. He pulled me from the flames of hell. Now I'm going to spend eternity with Jesus Christ and washed in the blood. And I thank God for every day, every minute that he has saved me. Hard times come, but you know what? I'm okay, because I tell you, my hard times used to be jail cells. My hard times used to be prison. My hard times was rehabs and mental hospital. When I met the pastor, I was 7, going on 8 years ago, I was on 19 pills a day, 19 psychotropic pills a day. And I'm going to tell you right now, you know what? I finally went to one of my appointments, and the psychiatrist sat me there in a chair, and he said, Mr. Morey, there's nothing else I can do for you. Jesus Christ took over. And I'm just telling you now, you want to get right with Jesus Christ, you want to get what he has, go ahead and give up on man and turn yourself to Jesus Christ. He can heal anything that you have in your life. That's a fact. That's a fact. I would have never imagined. And so, you know, I got saved. 6 months after that, I called to preach. In a million years, you couldn't have paid me money to say that one day you'll be up behind a pulpit somewhere, Dale Morey, and you'll be preaching. Well, that's just God. You know what? When people saw Paul walking around, they never thought in a million years. Matter of fact, they were worried when they saw Paul. They thought, oh my gosh, here he comes. He's going to kill us. He's going to hurt us. And no, he preached to them. You see, God calls that, you know, that type of person. And I thank God for calling me. I thank God for him doing what he's doing with me and my family and in my life. I thank God for a Bible that I can sit down and read and study and learn and have direction in my life. I actually have meaning in my life now. Something means something to me besides drugs and alcohol and being a womanizer and all that baloney and all that garbage. I finally have some meaning in my life, and it was Jesus Christ that gave me meaning in my life. He filled that void that I tried filling with everything else. He stepped in and filled that void. And I thank God for it. And you know, it's a learning process. It's a learning process. You know, everything didn't just come out of me overnight. Matter of fact, I'll tell you this. I've been in this church going on 8 years. I sat here for 3 years as a lost man while the King James Bible was preached to me. And it wasn't until Jesus Christ, it wasn't until he opened my eyes and showed me what I had to see that I got saved. You know what? I never lost my salvation. I never turned back. I ain't looking back. You can't give me, and you can't promise me the things that I had in my past. I don't want it. I don't want the misery and the torture and the cold jail cells. The loneliness. The sitting in a room full of crowded people and still being alone. I'm just going to tell you right now, when I got saved, I got born again, I was made free. Because you don't have to be in prison, jail, a mental hospital, or rehab to be in your own little prison.
Right.
You don't have to be in those places to be in your own little prison. And I got set free from that. And I thank God that he set me free. Anyway, I just thought I'd share a little bit of that. I could go on for quite a while, but preaching the book of John, if you would start turning there, please. The book of John, New Testament, last of the Gospels here. The book of John, we're going to be in verse starting at 1. And I'm going through a transition in my life right now. I sat down in my Sunday school class one day, and Brother Haynes sat down and he taught my Sunday school class. And that was the whole key. He was teaching. And I said, man, the Lord just really pricked my heart and said, Dale, you don't need to just go down there and preach to these kids. You need to teach them. And so the Lord started bringing me through a transition in my Sunday school class. And you know what? I've been teaching the kids. Preaching breaks out. That just happens. But really, I've been getting in and I've just been teaching them. And you know what? The Lord just needed me to transition, because when you get out there, you can't just preach at everybody. Some people need to be taught. And so you got to have that patience to be able to get in there and do that thing. I'm going to tell you now, if you don't know that, if you don't think there's a difference between preaching and teaching, then you just don't understand. Because there's a whole difference between preaching and teaching. And so I thank God. So now what happens? I'm getting into the rhythm of that. Things are going slow. My kids are praying for me. I know my teens are praying for me. And I'm getting into a rhythm. Things are going well. And just knew from the bottom of my heart. My wife looked at me and she said, "Honey, I believe the Lord is trying to transition you at your 1 o'clock service." And of course I'm a knucklehead. I don't want to hear nothing. And so I try to fight it. My pastor picked up on it. He says, "You know, they should just try for a few weeks, pick three chapters in the book of John and preach them verse by verse." Well, you guys see how that went last week? That's not my comfort zone. I should know better. God doesn't ever want me to be in my comfort zone. So here I am again this week, and I'm going to go verse by verse in the book of John. Let me tell you, it's been a blessing. I'm not nervous to be up here this week. I struggled hard through it last week, but you know what? I vowed, I said, I'm going to do this because I know this is what the Lord wants from me. I'm not going to cower out, and I'm not going to run from it. I'm just going to face it and let Him get into this thing and lead me, guide me, and give me some direction in this thing, because really I desire, listen to me, I used to desire to learn how to preach. But now I'm really desiring how to teach. This new desire has come in my heart just in the past few weeks. I really want to know how to get in and do some teaching. And so, you know what happens? Preaching breaks out. It just happens. But I'm not saying this to offend anybody or whatever. If I step on toes, that's good. I don't mind stepping on toes. But when I study my Bible, that's all I use is my Bible. I don't use commentaries, strong concordances, and all that. I stay in my Bible, and I let it teach me. I let it teach me. I learned that not only from my pastor, reading a book from Gail Riffler, and she says the Bible will give its own definitions. It will teach you everything that you need to know. And I'm going to tell you, it took a lot for me to get used to that. Thank you very much. I was just going to ask for that. It took a lot for me to say, let me give this a try. You know what? And I've given it a try. And you know what? I believe it. I believe it to be the truth. Because it's working for me, and I love it. I don't think you're lost or anything else. If you use commentaries or whatever, that's on you. That's between you and God. I'm just telling you what He's bringing me. I'm just telling you what He's trying to teach me. I like learning. Now, I didn't grow up a nerd. I grew up a gangster and all that kind of stuff. But you know what? I like being a dork. I like being. I like when people look at me and say, "Man, you turned into a dork." Good. I like being a dork. I'm enjoying being a dork. You know, people say, "Well, you're brainwashed with that Bible." Good. I'm brainwashed, mouthwashed, bodywashed, sinwashed, forgiven. I like being brainwashed by that Bible. Thank God something finally got in there and did something for me. I mean, my goodness. But anyway, John 1, we're going to start in verse 1. And I'm going to read the first few verses. Last week we left on verse 5. I'll start in verse 6, but I'm going to give a recap. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And the same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him, and without Him not anything was made that was made. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehendeth not. Now verse 6 is where I'm going to start. Verse 6, there was a man sent from God whose name was John. Go to, if you would turn with me to Isaiah. Isaiah, Old Testament, written before Ezekiel. Oh, no, before Jeremiah. I'm like you, Pastor. I can't play that game where you have to find the verses real quick. I can't do all that. Isaiah 40. 1 through 5, I want to show you here where they're getting this from. Verse 6, speaking of John, in Isaiah 40, 1 through 5. It says, comfort ye my people, saith your God. Speak ye comfortably to Jerusalem and cry unto her that warfare, and warfare is accomplished, and that her iniquity is pardoned, for she hath received of the Lord's hand double for all her sins. Could you imagine that? Double for all your sins? Woo! I wouldn't want to be in that position, I tell you that. Thank God that he's long-suffering. Thank God he's merciful that he was able to pull me from the... Listen, I was so close to hell I could feel the heat, man. And I thank God that he stepped in and he saved somebody like me. Thank God that thank God for his mercy. If you're not thankful here today, listen to me. You're breathing right now. You should be thankful. You're sitting here in a church house, and it's not by coincidence or by your will, but God has you sitting here today. As you're sitting in this room, you should be thankful for that. Thankful. Listen, is anybody starving in here? Is there anybody that's really without anything? No, you are not. Be thankful, because there's people that are out in this world that have nothing today that would do anything for a grain of rice. God seemed fit and seemed merciful that you had that today. Even eating downstairs. Thank God for the ladies that cook. I'm not gaining this weight on my own. Sundays, man. No. Verse 3. The voice of him that cried from the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord. Make straight in the desert a highway for our God. Every valley shall be exalted, and every mountain and hill shall be made low, and the crooked shall be made straight, and the rough places plain. And the glory of the Lord shall be revealed, and all flesh shall see it together, for the mouth of the Lord hath spoken it. This is speaking where we just read in John 1:6, where they say, prepare ye the way. Let me get there, because I'm kind of slow at doing this whole turning. You know, it was funny because Pastor really called me out on something. You know, I preached against people using electronics for a Bible. You should carry a Bible in church and not an electronic. So here he goes, well, Dale, that's good. I'm glad you did that. He goes, but did you realize you never made us turn in our Bible once and you're preaching off a piece of paper? That was an eye opener. I said, boy, let me get that right. As you can see, I had one piece of paper with some verses written on it, because you know what? We're turning in our Bible. I don't care how long it takes us. Anyway, yeah, God was good like that. So John, I'm too busy talking. John 1:6 says there was a man sent from God whose name was John. And that's where Isaiah 40 verses 1-5 is talking about John. He's being the witness. He's the one that's preparing the way. Preparing the way for who? For Jesus Christ to come. He's making people prepared for it. Let's go on to verse 7. It says, the same came for a witness to bear witness of the light that all men through him might believe. John 7 is the John is the witness to bear light of. Excuse me, is the bear witness of the light. That light, now if you look in the Bible, it's a capital L. Light, L-I-G-H-T. That's not talking about the light we have here. It's talking about the light of Jesus Christ, who he is. Now, if you read back, we go back. We're going to turn back and forth now. It says, Jesus is the light who was also spoken of in Isaiah 40, where it says, and the glory of the Lord shall be revealed, and all the flesh shall see it together, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken it. That is the light that John was prophesied about becoming a witness to.
Good.
You see, John came to bear witness of the light. Who's the light? That light is Jesus Christ. Isaiah 40 says that they will see, all flesh will see it. So he's prophesying about the coming of Jesus Christ. He's preparing the way. He's baptizing me. He's getting him ready. And listen, this thing's about to take place. And you know, like most people, they didn't want to listen to it. Like most, they didn't want to hear it. I know I didn't. The funny thing is, I really didn't have many people approach me about, you know, wanting to come to church or so on in my life. I don't remember many people ever approaching me. And not because I was some terrible, horrible, you know, guy who was going to chop their head off every time. Maybe I didn't look approachable. I don't know what it was. But I thank God for Old Time Baptist Church from when I was in prison. I was in Gowanus State Correctional Facility for 5 years. And every Thursday night, they used to come in and preach to us. And I thank God for that, because that's really, I started getting into a King James Bible. I thank God for them. You know what it did? They started preparing the way for me to get saved. They planted the seed. And then Pastor John Asquith came and he watered it. I got a surprise for you though. God gave the increase.
Amen.
God gave the increase. Amen. When it was time. For three and a half years, I sat underneath the preaching right here from our pastor, preaching of a King James Bible. And for 3.5 years, I sat in that pew lost until God seemed fit that it was time for me to be saved. I had to, you know what I had to see? I finally had to see, for the first time in my life, I had to see my heart the way God seen it. And then when he showed it to me, it was a horrible thing. But you know what? It was one of the best things ever. I used to tell him all the time, I'll never get saved. It just wasn't meant for me. You know what? It was the easiest thing I ever done when I saw when I had to see.
Amen.
Boom. It's been done. It's over with. And there's, you know what? God's not willing that any should perish.
Amen.
Any. There's not a person on this earth that did live, that is living, or will live, that he does not want saved.
That's right.
They choose to go to hell. He chose to go to a cross. You choose to go to hell. He chose the cross. He made the way to fix it. He made the way to make that thing okay. You're the one who chooses to not want it. So therefore, that's your choice. I thank God. That Pastor John Asquith walked up to me and said, I want to be your pastor. I said, no, you do not. I don't want a pastor. I did not want anything to do with a pastor or anything else. It left a bad taste in my mouth. When I left prison and got out here and seen what it was like, it left a bad taste in my mouth. And me and my wife just didn't want anything to do with it. Thank God my wife just said, you know what? She can't start coming to this church. You ask her. I used to call her names and rail on her, oh, holier than thou, blah, blah, blah. For like 3 months, I used to just absolutely rail on her. And she said, honey, you know, this guy preaches the King James Bible like I've never heard it before. That clicked a light on me because I loved the King James Bible since Old Time Baptists used to preach it. I said, well, I'll go get him. She goes, will you come and hear him? I'll go one time. Oh, boy. Woo! Thank God. Thank God he's long-suffering. Thank God that he was willing to strive with me until I had seen what I had to see. Thank God. Thank God. Thank God that he was willing, that not willing that I would perish, that I would get that heat finally away from me. I'm just going to tell you now, that nonstick butter spray and all that ain't going to work in the flames of hell. Okay? I'm just telling you right now. It ain't going to soothe the pain. It ain't going to make it any better. There's only one way, and his name is Jesus Christ. And that's what he wants. He desires to have you. He desires for you to be his child. He desires to be there with you. He says, come on, let's reason together. He's trying to reason with you. Will you open your eyes and see it for the first time in your life and see it through his eyes for the first time? And I'm just telling you now, it's a life-changing thing, and I thank God for it. Anyway, the light. The glory of the Lord is the light, who is Jesus, and John was talking of and fulfilling Isaiah 40, 1 through 5. Let's go with verse 8. It says, he was not the light. Talking about John. We know that John was not Jesus Christ. He's not the light. It says, but he sent to bear witness of that light. Verse 9. That light was the true light, which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. Verse 9 is the fulfillment of Isaiah, verse 5, where it says, and all flesh shall see it together. Jesus is the light that lighteth every man that cometh into the world. He is it. He's fulfilling Isaiah 40, verse 5, where it says that all flesh shall see it together. Verse 9 here says that was the true light, which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. You see that? Every single person that is born, the light of Jesus Christ will shine upon them. Now it's their choice of what they want. Do you want Jesus Christ or do you do not want Jesus Christ? And I'm going to go through a little series here of something the Lord gave me. And I just hope it will do, maybe you'll just see. But you know, here it says that he lighteth every man that cometh into the world. Both of those light and cometh are ETH on the end of it. That means it's something that's a continual process. Jesus is continually shining his light on those who are continually being born in this world. It's not something that he did at one time and then stopped. No, that light is out there for all to see. But there's many out there that I'm going to get to. Why can't they see the light of Jesus Christ? Why don't they want to see it? Listen to what I'm saying. But not all choose to see the light, but darkness. They cannot comprehend the true light in John 1:5. Why? Genesis 1:4 says that what? God separated the light from the dark. That dark can no longer comprehend the light unless there's another light shown onto him. And that light is going to be the glorious gospel of Jesus Christ. Then they'll see it. Then they'll see that light. But let me go into a few verses here. It says, turn with me, if you would, to John 3. It's just a few verses over. John 3. We're going to start in verse 19. John 3:19. We're going to go right down through 21. And it says, and this is the command, condemnation, that the light is come into the world. We just learned that Jesus Christ is the light and he's come into the world. And men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. For everyone that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved. For how is that reproved? By the light of the glorious gospel of Jesus Christ has to shine on them to show them that they have to, that they need to be reproved. I did not know the Ten Commandments. I didn't care if I broke a single one of those things. It didn't bother me a day in my life if I did it. I would have done that 100 times before I was 7. But God had to shine his light on me to reprove me and show me, whoa, you know what you're doing? You're breaking my law. You're the one who's guilty that's standing there before me. You know what? That, I wouldn't have believed all that. You couldn't get me to sit here and believe that in 10 minutes. I'm sorry. It took time for me to see that. It took time to see what I was really doing. But David makes it very clear. He said, against thee and thee only have I sinned and done wrong in thy sight. I'm just sorry to tell you this right now. I don't sin against one human being. I may wrong you and do things wrong to you, but I sin against a holy God. You are not God, therefore I'm not sinning against you. I'm breaking his laws, not yours. You understand? I stood condemned before a holy God for breaking his laws. And you know, my sin nature kept me separate from him. And that had to be dealt with. You know who dealt with that? Jesus Christ. Our own Creator, the very Creator who created us, fixed the problem. He fixed it. He made a way to fix that problem. And you know what? Who wants it though? You know why? Men love darkness rather than the light.
That's right.
And there's a big separation there. He separated it back in Genesis, and he's still separating it here in the New Testament. Why? Because darkness can't comprehend it. Does he want them to comprehend? Of course he does. If that's the case, I would have never seen it. But you know what? It's going to take somebody coming in with an open heart, an open mind, who is absolutely tired of their life, and let the glorious gospel, the light of the glorious gospel be preached to them, and they see it. Man can never force one to see what God is trying to get them to see. They just can't do it. I'll tell you, sometimes I want to grab some of my family and go, you can't you know? You see who I used to be? You see what kind of person I was? You know who's doing this to me. You know it's impossible for me to ever do something in my life. Why won't you just look at it? Look at it. They don't want to see the light. They love the darkness. Mm-hmm. And it breaks my heart to see that. It breaks my heart to know today that I have family members that are on their way to hell and it doesn't bother them. It's been a hard week. Not only spiritually for me and my wife, but my wife's... her stepmother found out she has cancer. You know, it's all a little close family. And we know she's not saved. You know, she's stage 4 lung cancer. It's going into her bones and everything else, you know. And, beg God, please. What can I say that they would see it? What do I have to show them that they'll see it? Please, what else? Don't let them bust the flames of hell open. That's what's going to happen. I don't want that to happen. I don't wish that upon my worst enemy. Which I don't have any. Ain't that something?
Yeah.
You're all my friends. I don't have any enemies anymore.
Hey.
People want to be my enemies, but I don't want to be their enemy. I'm done with all that garbage. Oh, you can't fight? Good, I don't want to fight. I don't need to fight. I don't need to look like a tough guy to be a tough guy. You know, it don't make me any more of a man to be tough. To go out there and be able to beat people up or say things that I want to say to them. You know what makes me a man? To get in this Bible, to live it, to breathe it, to love it. You know what it's taught me, brother? It taught me how to be a husband, a dad.
Yeah.
It's taught me how to be a brother to you guys, a prayer warrior for you guys. You don't believe me? Here's my prayer list that I pray every single day. I ain't got enough room. I got 2 or 3 sheets of paper. I'm not bragging on myself. You know why? Because I have care and concern for people who used to be absolute strangers to me, who I consider my brothers and my sisters.
Man.
That's what it means to me. That's what it means to me. And I thank God his light shined on me, and I seen that light, and I, you know what I did? I turned from that darkness.
I don't like my evil deeds.
Pastor said something to me today. He said, you know, all that stuff that God has shown you, he goes, we used to enjoy, we didn't mind living in it. I said, man, that hit me like a ton of bricks. Wow, you're right. We enjoyed living in that.
It didn't bother us to live that way. But now there's a bother. There's something different about it. My desires in my heart not to live that way is so bad that I'll go out and scream in the woods, God, please.
Please, I don't want to be that anymore. Please, I don't want it anymore.
I don't want to be who I used to be. I don't like that man.
Right.
I don't like him. My family doesn't like him. God doesn't like him. I don't want to be that anymore. Please, Lord, help me to sell out. Help me to sell out. Why?
Because I want his love, his peace that passes all understanding. I want my family to have the benefits of me serving the Lord the way I should. Do you know they get benefits for that?
Yep. I'm going to tell you now, just in case husbands don't know, that if you're not doing the right thing for your family, you're not going to be the one accountable for it.
That's right.
God sees women as tender. I'm telling you, man, the more you read the Bible, ladies are tender. But you men, you're knuckleheads when you treat your wife the wrong way. And God will take care of that. He'll take care of that. I don't want him taking care of that anymore. I want to be what I'm supposed to be for her. They get the benefits of it. Shame. Wasn't it shame the last week? And I came in the house yesterday. I said, I've been shameful to you guys. I've been said things and done things that I should have never done.
Man, you think I would have done anything like that in the past?
But God had to show me. Here you go, Dale. How's that look? It didn't look good to me. I didn't want it. I came in, I fought every ounce of pride that I had in me. I told him, I said, I'm going to tell you now.
I didn't look mean.
I said, we need to sit down and have a talk. I called everybody into the living room. I said, into the living room now. We need to have a family discussion. I said, I'm going to tell you right now, every bit of pride is telling me, do not say this. I said, so I'm just going to tell you, you know what? I'm sorry for the way I've been. Sorry for the things I said. Sorry for the way I've acted. I'm the one who was wrong. I'm the one who handled it wrong. I went against what my pride wanted me to do. And you know what? It gave my family some relief, and now we're heading in the right direction.
Amen.
God takes that thing serious when a man. He gave us a wife for what? Because she's my weaker vessel? Yes. But because she's lower than me, not a chance. She's my equal.
Amen. I told her yesterday, I said, could you imagine? There's ladies living out there, honey, who don't have a husband that will grab them up, let them cry, protect them, any of that kind of stuff, because of women's lib, set them free. Now they don't have what you have.
I said, you know what? Deep inside, they're dying for it.
Amen.
Dying for a man to take care of them the way they should. Dying for that. You know, that's just a little bit of what the light of Jesus Christ done to somebody like me. There's not a single person in here he does not want to do that for. I thank God for it. Thank God he's not a God of human thoughts and human intentions, but he's a God who knows what's best for each and every person sitting in this room. Please understand that. Did I read John 3, 19 through 21? I think I did. But he that doeth truth cometh to the light, that his deeds may be manifest, that they are wrought in God. You see that?
The light of Jesus Christ has to shine on you, and it's going to show you what you're doing right or wrong. It says that your deeds may be wrought. Why? To see if they're see what lines up with God. How do we know what lines up with God? You got a Bible sitting right in front of you. Is it lining up with what God wants? Is it what he's telling you? Is it where he's leading you to do? He has to manifest those things. He has to show me. If he never dealt with me, if he did not sit and make me go sit out there yesterday, I would have never saw what he needed me to see yesterday. He had to shine that light and say, here. Thank God for it. It's hard. I know Randy's going through hard times. I said, let God continue to shine that light on you. Let him show you what's going on so you can deal with it. If you refuse it, you won't comprehend what God is trying to do in your life. It won't make any sense to you. It just won't make any sense if you don't realize what God is trying to do, what he's trying to accomplish in your life. It's not a punishment in the long run. And I'm telling you, I told Randy this, in the long run, you'll be the happiest person in the world that he did it to you.
Amen.
The outcome is much better than when you're going through it.
Yes.
Trust, you know, Proverbs 3, 5, and 6, everybody likes to throw that verse out there. It's a wonderful verse. But let me just say, trust in the Lord with all thine heart. God gives a warning in the very next sentence. And lean not in your own understanding. Why would he do something like that? Because he knows, that's right. He knows as soon as we say, yes, Lord, I trust you with all my heart, if something pops up, bam, the first thing you're going to do is go into your own understanding. You think God wrote that by accident? I think he knows his creation. He knows what we are made of. Thank God for a God who knows who we are. I wouldn't want to serve a God who doesn't know who I am. And I thank God for that. Anyway, let's look at John. Jesus is the light John is talking about. Turn with me to 2 Corinthians 4:4. I have to read this. It's one of my favorite things. It really gave me a lot of understanding when I understood this. And I thank God for it. 2 Corinthians 4. We got some time. Zane, I really appreciate that water, man. I'm having a hard time with my voice today. I thank you for it, man. He's become the best, I don't know if I want to call you a water boy, but we'll call you a water boy. That Black Creek Everett. He keeps it up there fresh and cold. And Trevor's trying to do it. And thank you too, buddy. All right, 2 Corinthians 4, verse 4. In whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. For we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your servants for Jesus' sake. For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, has shined in our hearts to give the light to the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. Verse 7, but we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power of may be of God and not of us. He is trying to shine that light and show you that it cannot be of you. It has to be from Him. It has to be of Him. In this earthen vessel, He says that He's shining that light down. Why does He need to shine His light down? Because the God of this world had blinded the minds. Notice he didn't say he was going to blind the hearts, but that he was going to blind the minds. Why? Because that hearts are already desperately wicked. It's already evil as evil can be. So what's he got to do? He's got to take the next step, and he's got to blind the minds. The body will follow. Once the heart comes up and puts that decision in your mind's going to go ahead, and all three, your mind, your body, and your heart are all going to do the same thing. They're all going to go the same way. It's going to take full control of you, and you're blinded. Bang. Now what's going to show you the light? The glorious gospel has to be shined for you to see through that darkness. Why? Because men love darkness rather than light. Why? That's what's in their heart. It's what's in your heart that makes you do those things. It brings it up to your mind. Your mind thinks about it. And then guess what? Once the devil has a hold of that, once your pride gets a hold of it, once your flesh gets a hold of that thing, you're off and running there in the opposite way God even wanted you to go. The blinded mind of a person is the hardest thing in the world for you to get to see. Man, listen. Let me share this with you. Hey. Because I'm telling you, that mind is so fixed. I was telling Randy, you got to get your mind fixed off of you and start getting it fixed on Jesus Christ. Hard as that? It's hard. If I stood up there and said, Tanya, don't worry, just fix your mind on Jesus. It's easy, don't worry, you'll get it. I'd be a liar and I'd be a fool. I'd be a liar and I'd be a fool. Romans 12:2 says, the renewing of your mind. That means a process has to take place. When Jesus shines that light on you, a process of changing your mind has to take place. How does that take place? In the Word of God. Being underneath the preaching. Listen, praying to God. I mean, just going and doing what you know is right. I don't care how down and depressed you think you are. I get there too. And I'm drug free and I handle it. You know how I handle it? Number one, I know I'm going to come out the other side. I know that I've been there before. I'm going to come out the other side. Number two, I don't give up reading my Bible, praying, and stay away from church.
Come on.
That's the dumbest thing you could ever do. Stop. Stop reading, stop praying, and staying away from church is the most ridiculous thing you could ever do. Because you know what? It's only going to get worse. And not only is it going to get worse, but now you're going to compound things. One on top of the other, on top of the other, on top of the other, on top of the other. And you're going to go, oh my goodness, how did I get here? Let me give you three things that you stop doing. You stop reading, you stop praying, you stop going to church.
Come on.
That is not going to make it any easier. I can, oh, that's it, you know, things are going bad, so I'm just going to quit church. What happened the last time you weren't in church? Did it get better?
Yes.
What happened when you close this Bible? That's it, I'm done with it. I'm not reading the Bible. I mean, you take it out on the church, you take it out on the Bible, and you take it out on God like it's all His fault. Did you not look in the mirror that morning and realize who the problem really is? It's yourself. Oh, I'm going to move here. I'm going to go there. You'll have the same problems. How do I know that? Because I've done it 100 times. That's why I have a rap sheet in 3 different states. Florida, Vermont, and here. In New York, I have a rap sheet of doing prison time in 3 different states. Why? Because trouble followed me? I am the trouble. I was the cause of it all. I could have blamed so many people for the things that went wrong in my life, Brother Hank. But there came a point in my life when I became a man. In the world speaking. I became a male. Let me rephrase that. I became a male. I was above the age of 18. Where I had the choice to go and get help. Positive help. But I chose to do wrong. I chose to take the wrong path. I chose to go to the drugs and the alcohol and the womanizing and the thievery. I chose to go that way when I didn't have to go that way. But I chose that way. Instantly. Why? Because my sin nature, it was easier for me to go that way. It was easier for me to go ahead and fall into those things. Why? Because I was born that way. I was born that way. I was born to naturally do wrong. I was born to naturally just go that way. When you raise a child, you don't have to raise them how to do wrong things. You got to teach them how to do good things. Why? Because instinctively, they know how to do wrong.
Right.
So when nobody teaches us, when somebody just leaves us out there hanging, brother, guess what we are? Like you say, trapped in that age.
Right.
I was trapped in that age. Nobody ever taught me nothing. I was just out there to do whatever I wanted. So guess what I did? I reverted back to what I was born to do. That was trouble. I only did what my nature told me to do. Thank God for a merciful God who stepped in and took care of that for me, put the new man in me. Now I can feed either one.
Yes.
But you know what? I don't want to. All that baloney that's going on out there, all the hurt that I caused, all the suffering and pain and agony. I'm not even talking about myself. I haven't even mentioned myself. You think I want to go back to doing that garbage? The drugs that make you feel this way and do that and drink this and jump off that? Now, man, you can have all that. I tell the teens sometimes, I say, man, the things that I'm warning you about, you're running to. I'm running from them. You're running to them. Don't run too long. Give you the. Listen, you think you're missing something, and I promise you, you're not. You're not missing a darn thing. Pain, misery. Listen, let me tell you something. Last week, I'm over to go preaching at Sio. I put a piece of gum in my mouth. Half of my tooth fell out. 3-4 days ago, guess what? The other half of my tooth fell out. Now I got a huge gaping hole in my mouth. I can't afford to go to the dentist to get it pulled out. But you know what that's from? The years and years of sniffing crystal meth. It won't stop. It doesn't stop the damage.
Right.
After all these years, the damage is still going. You know, they got to do a liver count every 6 months. Why? Because I drank like a fish. I was an alcoholic. Don't they got to do a liver count every 6 months on me to make sure my levels are staying fine? Otherwise, we got to start doing something about it. I was married. And I don't care what people think about me in this church. You know that. I was married 3 times. My Amy is my 3rd wife, shamefully. Not because of her, the things that I've done. But I had 5 children. And I destroyed their lives. And you think I want to go back to that garbage? You think I want that baloney? You go ahead and throw stones at me. You go ahead and throw your little thing. But let me tell you something. You better turn around and look at your own life and see what God's trying to show you about yourself. I'm not a pastor. I don't have any authority in the church. I'm a Sunday school teacher and I'm a preacher. Just in case you didn't know, they're spelled two different ways and they have two different meanings to them. So take that to the bank. Jesus Christ saved me. I'm an imperfect man saved by a perfect God. That's how come I'm standing up here today, not because of any man. Why? Because the glorious light of the gospel of Jesus Christ shone in my heart, showed me where I was, revealed to me who I was. For the first time in my life, I agreed with God. Got saved, and I'm not looking back. I grabbed that plow, and we're going to move forward. No matter how hard it gets me and my family, you know what we run to? We run to a Bible. We run to prayer with each other. We run to our church. We run to doing things that God will continually have us do because we know it's the right thing to do and we know it's going to eventually end. She used to turn her own nasty ways in. And no. And listen, if you don't never read Amy's testimony, you probably should read it. You'd be shocked at what you see. God healed her. He took a marriage that was, you guys don't understand, on the verge of divorce. My wife used to pray that God would kill me. She didn't want to leave me because she loved me. But she knew that if God took me out, then she wouldn't have to leave me. But God did one better for her. He saved her husband and made her to a man that she needs. Now, I may not be fit for any of you other ladies, and that's fine, and nothing against you. But God saved me to be a husband for her needs. That's what He saved me. You know what? 6 months after I got saved, my wife got saved. My wife got saved. Jesus Christ showed her in our bedroom, at home, the house we live in, our home, our little castle that the Lord has given us, showed her in the room why she needed to be saved. And you know what? Bang, it was done and over with. And I tell you what, she's been saved ever since. Isn't that something? Crazy how that works, isn't it? But I used to have guys come up to me, brother, and I'm going to be done here in 2 seconds. I used to have people come up to me all the time, rubbing my wife's, oh, just pray this, just do this, just come on, pray this. The devil's attacking you. Just repeat this after me. Just, you know what? We weren't ready. The Lord hasn't shown us. He didn't take us all the way where He needed us to. There was something He had to show us. All along, He's striving. All along, He's saying, come on. He's pushing for us. He's rooting for us. He's long-suffering. He's pushing. But you know what? It wasn't until He showed us what we needed when we got saved. It says, what did He do? I'm going to misquote it. And I don't like doing it because Mr. Ruthann looks at me. For 20 years, he oppressed Israel until they finally called on His name. Why wouldn't He do that with the person with their salvation? Why is everybody in such a rush? In order to be a bishop, everybody knows husband and one wife and all that's what it calls. But you know what the fifth one I think it is, or the sixth one? Patience. Patience. Why can't we have patience and let God save the people that He's got to shine the light up. It says not of us, but of God. Why can't He do it? Everybody's so quick at microwave salvation. Leave it alone. God knows what He's doing. Keep them in church. Keep them in a Bible study. Keep them in a King James Bible. Keep going at them. Keep loving them. Keep praying them. No matter what they do to you, trust me, I've had things done to me since I've been preaching, and you wouldn't even think somebody would ever do that to a preacher, and they do it to you. Does that mean turn your back and walk away? No, nope, you love them more. You love them more because they need to see that you're different than the world has ever given them. You need to see that they're different than this world has ever given them. And when they start seeing that, that's that light coming to shine through. Not of me. Thank God it's not a devil, because I'll show you how to ruin your life pretty quick. But it's the light of the glorious gospel. I'm done, brother.